We're holding on Ayin Beis on the day of the beginning of the Gemara. To recap, we mentioned in the Mishnah like this. We established earlier in the Perek that if an unborn baby animal sticks a limb out of the womb before it's born, then we said that limb is also to eat. It's basar basada treva. It's basar shiyata chutzim chitzata. It's meat that went out of the zone that it's supposed to be. That part everybody agrees with. Then we said that, so that we said in the Mishnah, if you cut it off before the mother animal was shechted, no problem, because neither the mother nor the baby animal at that point is able to be mekabel truma, because they're still alive. The mother is still alive. The baby, it doesn't really matter whether it's alive or not, because either way, it's mutter to eat once you shech the mother. So therefore, they don't become tamei from having touched that limb. So no problem.
Because it was cut.
The point is that they were touching it before it was cut off, but nevertheless, there's no problem. Question is, what happens if you shechted the
mix outside?
It sticks outside, but the point is it's still attached to the animal. It's still attached to the baby, right? But there's no problem because the rest of the baby animal and the mother animal are not makabel truma yet. However, if you cut it off after the shechita of the mother, then you have a problem because that piece, which is osur, touched the rest of the meat of the baby and of the mother. So to what degree is it tamei? So we said in the Mishnah, Reb Meir says that it's tamei, that the piece that was sticking out is considered nevela. Therefore, the rest of the meat is considered meat that touched nevela. Nevela is an avat truma. Therefore, the rest of the meat is a rishon truma. So that's it. The rest of the meat is a rishon truma. Whereas the Chachamim said that it only has a lesser degree of truma. It only has the truma of the part that stuck out, even though it's also to eat, is only considered trefa, not nevela. And trefa is not tamei if you shecht it. It's only to the extent that it has tumah, it's only d'rabbanan, and only when it comes to kodshim, as we'll see in the Gemara soon. So therefore, the rest of the meat only has the status of meat that touched trefa shchuta. So it's a lesser degree. It's not even d'oraisa. It's only d'rabbanan, and only when it comes to kodshim. Okay. And then we had, the rest of the Mishnah was an argument between
what happens.
So there's cholin, nothing happens. But we'll talk about in the Gemara what it means for mukdashin, whether cholin can be implicated or not. We'll get to that in a minute. But we'll get to that too. Anyway, the rest of the Mishnah then continues that the Chachamim are arguing that the same way as a regular trefa, it becomes tahor when you shecht it, the same way it should be over here with the piece that stuck out. Reb Meir says, yeah, but there's a difference between the goof of the animal and the vlad, which is not part of it, the baby, which is not part of its actual goof. And then the Mishnah continued discussing the bichlal. How do we know this concept that when you shecht the trefa, that it becomes tahor? And we said that we explored it in the Mishnah, right? Ultimately, we said the reason is because a trefa at least belongs to a type of animal to which shechita is applicable, whereas, for example, a behemoth tmeya, such as a horse or a donkey, does not. Okay. So, the first part, then, so going back to, again, the first part of the Mishnah, we had the case where the limb is still attached at the time of the shechita, and we're saying that both the Chachamim and the Meir agree that the rest of the meat becomes tamei from it. The only machlokes is to what degree? Is the piece that stuck out considered nevela, or is it considered trefa? So, the question is, Amai, why should the rest of the meat be tamei anyway? Tumas beis astarim hi. And here's what we're going to be talking about. In the Gemara on the previous Mishnah, we touched a little bit on tumas beis astarim when something...
So that's a question for Reb Meir.
It's a question on both. It's a question on both the Reb Meir and the Chachamim, yeah.
One is, according to...
Okay, one second. According to the mayor, the piece that stuck out is nevela. According to the Chachamim, it's trefa shchuta. Either way, they're saying, both of them are saying, the rest of the meat touched it, therefore it has some degree of tumah. But why should it? It's maga based, it's tumah based astarim heat. Where do they touch? They touch at a point where they're still connected. That is based astarim. It's a concealed area. The same way as we were discussing before about the mother and with the baby inside her womb and so forth. So here it should be the same kind of thing. The tumah based astarim loy matamia. Tumah based astarim should not be matamia. So the question is, Lema Reb Meir L'taymei. In that case, would we have to say that Reb Meir in our Mishnah is going according to his shita that we find elsewhere where he does hold that Tumas Beis Astarim is Matami? Now, the problem with that is, the problem isn't with Reb Meir. The problem really is that then it would mean that the Chachamim of our Mishnah accept that principle of Reb Meir's, but the question would be, because they accepted the basic concept. They're just arguing, they're saying the piece is not Nevela, it's Trefa. But they accept the basic concept that here it's tamei because you have other chachamim who disagree with Reb Meir and who hold that tumas beis astarim is not matamei in general. So that would mean our Mishnah only represents only one side of the machlokes. So where do we see Reb Meir addresses this? Ditnan, we learn in a Mishnah in Kalim. Now you have a general concept which is like this. When a piece of clothing has to be a certain minimum, a first piece of cloth has to be a certain minimum size in order to be makabel certain kinds of truma. In particular, you have, now there's a difference between, you have a small piece, even as small as 3x3 etzbois, is able to be makabel most types of truma, but not tumas midras. Tumas midras, which involves a zav sitting on it or standing on it or hanging off it or whatever, requires a larger amount, because you need a large enough amount for it to be something that you can actually sit on. In the case of cloth, that amount is 3 tefachim by 3 tefachim. And by the way, in the Mishnah and the Gemara, whenever we use the word shloisha al shloisha, which is a masculine form, that refers to tefachim, which is also a masculine word. It's also a Lashon Zakha word. As opposed to when we say shalosh al shalosh, which is a feminine, that refers to etzba'os, etzba'os being feminine.
Why is it important?
Because that way, when it says shloisha al shloisha, automatically you'll know whether we're talking about, when it says shloisha al shloisha, or it says shalosh al shalosh, automatically we should be able to know which one is which. When is it talking about tefachim? When is it talking about etzba'os? Because you see the gender of the numbers, and therefore you see, and that relates to the gender. Shloisha is masculine. For shloisha refers to tefachim, shalosh would refer to etzba'os, right? So, shloisha al shloisha should nechlak. So suppose you have a piece of cloth, previously a zav had sat or whatever on it, so it became tamei tumas midras. Now shenechlak. Now suppose you divide it. Suppose it gets ripped into two. So now it's not. Now it can't be makabel tumas midras anymore, because it's smaller than 3x3 tefachim. Tahor min a midras. Therefore, the din is it's tahor in the sense that now it's not tamei with the tumah that it had before from the zav sitting on it. Aval tomei maga midras. However, it has a lesser degree of tumah because it touched something which was midras. Now, how did it touch something which was midras? Because when it's being ripped apart, then you have the part of it is touching the other part as it's being ripped apart. That's tumah space that's starting. Because it was midras. It was sat on or it was stepped on or whatever by itself. Midras literally means step, it literally means treading on. But that's the general term for the tumah caused by a zav putting his body weight on it somehow or other. Anyway, the point is, so it was tumas midras, but now that it's ripped, so it's no longer midras in the sense that if it still had tumas midras, then it would mean if another person sat on that same piece of cloth, they would become tamei. On the other hand, if the cloth is only now maga midras, then it means it can't be metame a person anymore. It can be metame, it's a rish in the tumah. It can be metame food and drinks that touch it, but not people and not table. So that's the point. So it no longer has tumas midras. Aval tome maga midras, but it's still tome because it touched midras. Divrei Rav Meir. That's what Rav Meir says. V'tanya, and we learn it actually, as it says on the side, it's not really V'tanya, it's not really a braisa, it's actually the continuation of the same Mishnah. Amr Rav Yosi, v'chi be'ez midras nagazeh. What are you talking about? What do you mean the thing touched midras? Once it was ripped in half, you can't say that the other piece is considered that it touched. Maga besa starim doesn't work. It isn't a concept. So Rav Meir holds that maga besa starim is still able to be metame. Rav Yosi disagrees with that. Okay, Tosfos points out over here we may be talking about that the zav didn't step on it directly. Rashi learns over here that we are talking about actually that the zav stepped on it directly. I'm getting ahead of myself. Okay, so Rav Yosi asks, midras nagazeh, what are you talking about? The thing didn't touch any midras. Rather, Rav Yosi says, what you can say is, what degree of tumah does it have if the zav touched it with his foot? Let's say, for example, Rashi says two possibilities. One is he stepped on it with a bare foot, so therefore you have touching it with his body, as well as tumas midras, that come at the same time. So then, shehe tumah maga zav. Then you can say it's tamei as a result of the zav having touched it, because then you need it to be a much smaller size, then it would have to be less than 3x3 etzbois to become tamei from that.
From
the zav touching it. If a zav touches something, it also becomes tamei. However, a zav touching it again only makes it a rishon l'truma. A zav sitting on it makes the thing an avat truma. So Rav Yosi is, which is able to be metame people and kelim. So Rav Yosi is arguing, if you're saying this just because you're taking this piece 3x3 tefachim and ripping it in half, You can't say that it still has the tumah from having touched midrash. In what way did it touch it? The only way it touched it is maga beis hasdarim, because it's touching at the point where they're still joined together, where the cloth is still intact. That's not considered negiyah. All you can say is,
well, how do you see that the cloth would be inside the beis hasdarim?
No. The cloth itself, the fact that you have the fact that you have a cloth where here, let's say this was 3x3 shochim. When you, as you're ripping it in half, you have part of it is touching the other part of it.
Yeah.
But nevertheless, Rav Yossi is arguing that that's not considered. So Rav Meir would consider that maga. As soon as you start ripping it, the rest of it that's still attached is considered that it's touching.
Right.
So therefore, it still has the degree of tumah of maga midras. And Rav Yossi is arguing, what are you talking about? That can't be considered touching because it's still touching at the intact, at the point where it's still intact.
But it was just one piece.
That 1 second. So first we're assuming over here that what it is Rav Meir holds of the concept of maga beis hasdarim, that even though the place where they're touching the one piece with the other is concealed within the cloth itself, because it's where the cloth is still intact, inside the fibers basically is where it's touching. Nevertheless, he would say that it still has the degree of tumah that something would get from touching midras. And Rav Yossi disagrees with that. Rav Yossi says the extent of the tumah that it would have is if the zav had touched it while it was intact. So let's say he'd stepped on it with his bare foot. Then fine. Now it would still retain that tumah because it would have to be less than 3x3 at bars to lose that tumah.
So, according to Rav Yossi, it was more than 3x3.
Everybody agrees. It started out as 3x3 tefachim. It started out as 3x3 tefachim. The Zav sat on it. Now we're ripping it in half. So now it's less than 3x3. Rav Meir holds, ripping it takes away the tumah midras that it has. It's no longer an ava tumah. If a person sits on it, he doesn't become tame. However, it still is a blada tumah because one part of it is touching the other part of it in the place where it's still intact. Rav Yossi says, no, that wouldn't be a reason. There would be no tumah on it at all. The only possible way it could have tumah, says Rav Yossi, it could still have a residual tumah after being ripped, says Rav Yossi, if the zava not only stepped on it, but also he had stepped on it with his bare foot, or otherwise touched it before he stepped on it, or after he stepped on it, then you could say that it still has that residual tumah, because a zava touching something, it'll still become tumah as long as it's 3x3 at boys or more. So the point is, we see from that that Rav Yossi seems to disagree with the whole concept that maga beis hasdarim would be tamei. So how does that fit with our Mishnah, where we have Rav Meir and the Chachamim, but they both seem to accept the principle that maga beis hasdarim will be metamei? They're just arguing how much. Now Tosfos, by the way, mentions that let's say when the Zav first stepped on it, how would Rav Yossi say it's Tahar? So like Rashi says, it would have to be that there was something that's not Makabal Tumah between his foot and the cloth. Otherwise, even according to Rav Yossi, if he's touching it with his bare foot, then yeah, you have Tumas Maga and Tumas Midras come at the same time, and the Tumah doesn't go away afterwards. Okay, Tosfos also goes on.
With his bare foot.
Tosfos also goes on to say that the two examples that Rashi gives, one where he touches it with his bare foot, and the other one is that he stepped on it and later on he touched it. Tosfos says that second one not necessarily, because we had there's a Gemara in Menachos, there's a Sugya in Menachos. Once something has a greater degree of Tumah, is it also able to get a lesser degree of Tumah as well? Here, Midras, the greater degree of Tumah. All right. Anyway, the point is that Rav Meir seems to hold that the part where they're still touching in the intact area is enough to be metame one part from the other, and Rav Yossi disagrees. So again,
it's a very far away concept from beis hasdarim. Beis hasdarim, we said, is
beis hasdarim means anything that's not exposed to the outside world. So here, the inside of the part where it's joined together over here is not exposed to the outside world. The individual fibers where it's still joined together, the inside of those fibers is not exposed to the outside world. Yeah. So that's still considered base. You don't see it. That's the point.
So what you don't see doesn't have any focus on it.
That's the point. In a certain sense, this. But yet Rav Meir seems to be saying differently. However, the Gemara says, "Lav itmar Allah." Don't you know there was also said about this, an explanation by the Amoraim, Amar Ula, about the, to understand this machlokas, lo shonu el shloisha al shloisha shenechlan. The whole machlokas in that Mishnah is where the piece is exactly 3x3 tefachim, and then you're cutting it or ripping it in half. So then you can't really say that it would have any tumas midras anymore anyway, because once it's less than 3x3, it's not capable of having tumas midras. By definition, it has to be 3x3. Avol sholosh al sholosh haboyis mideged gadol. However, let's say you have a different case. Let's say you have a larger beged. Let's say you have a larger beged that was tumim midras, and what you do is you cut out a piece from it 3x3 etzbois. So now the question is, if you have a piece 3x3 that you're cutting out of a larger one that already was tumim midras, then bishas prishas and mavian during the time when they're being separated from the original whole beged, metabol tumah me'avien. At that point, it's able to be metabol tumah, and that's the point. In other words, that we're saying that even Rabbi Yossi, it's not because Rabbi Yossi doesn't hold a maga base of starting. Necessarily, when you're cutting a larger piece out of a smaller piece, inevitably there's going to be a tiny fraction of time when it's actually touching. When you finished cutting it, but it's still touching. Because you don't have, so Tosfos talks about, if let's say, for example, if you have it, let's say, stretched out over a frame and you whack it in half, then fine. Rabbi Yossi would say that's not considered. Because in one shot, then you don't have, there's no fraction of a second where they're still touching. But in a normal case, where you cut it with scissors or whatever, inevitably you're going to have a tiny fraction of a second after you finish cutting it when the two pieces are touching, and therefore it's able to transfer trauma. So it's not a question of maga besa starting or not. The whole machlokas is only when you have a piece shloisha al shloisha where you're ripping it in half, where you ripped it in half, and then therefore neither one is big enough to be tummy midras. So then, therefore, Hanami. So the machlokas has nothing to do with the whole matter of maga beis astarim. They would both accept that maga beis astarim is not metame because
once
it's less than 3x3 tefachim, then there's no tumas midras on it anymore. And even Rav Meir is not going to say it's tummy maga midras. The machlokas is when you're cutting a smaller piece out of a larger one, and then therefore there's that inevitable touching when you're finishing over there. And there's a difference between ripping it and touching it, basically. So honami. So in our case of our Mishnah also, the shas prishos and aver, makabel truma aver. So as you're cutting off the aver, same kind of idea. Inevitably, there's going to be that fraction of a second when they touch. Therefore, everybody will agree that fraction of a second is enough to transfer trauma from one to the other. The machlokas in our Mishnah is only how much. You don't have to say that our mission
is cutting, the other one is not.
Then, right. Well, when you're cutting off the limb, and then at the end, when you finish cutting it off, then you have for a fraction of a second, you have them touching each other, right? Yeah. Okay.
That's when the trauma is transferred,
right? Exactly. Ravina Omar. Okay, so that's one answer. That our Mishnah is not dealing with Maga Beis HaStardim. We're talking about they did touch after they're actually completely separated. However, there is that fraction of a second when they are completely separate, when they're not attached anymore, but they can still touch.
The piece that was cut off.
It's not attached anymore, but nevertheless, it's still. Yeah, well, whatever. Yeah, you have inevitably, like you're holding it over there to keep it from falling or whatever, and then so the two are touching each other, right? Ravina says there's a different way we can answer. We can say that there's a difference. We can say that there's a difference between cloth and limbs over here. Beged lav lachaticha koi. Normally, a piece of cloth is not meant to be cut. As opposed to uba lachaticha koi, as opposed to with this baby, since the limb stuck out and it's also, and you're going to have to get rid of it, lachaticha koi, it's meant to be cut, and therefore hala omid lachtach kachatuch dami. So something that is supposed to be cut is already considered in advance as if it was cut. So therefore it's considered that they're touching each other. So therefore you have, in other words, when it's
considered.
That's considered. So when it comes to the beged, we can say the same answer as before, that only if they actually physically touch, because it's not meant to be cut. But over here, since it's meant to be cut, then we already consider it as cut, and therefore it's not maga beis starting. Okay.
So
the truma can transfer from one to the other. So again, the question is, kiman kerab meir? That, again, seems to be only according to the opinion of Rav Meir in another Mishnah. and not the opinion of the Chacham. Again, we only have one side of the Machlokes then represented, even though we have two opinions in our Mishnah, they both seem to be accepting the principle of Rav Meir. They're just arguing about the exact application of it. Namely, the Tanan, because we learn in a Mishnah in Mikvot, the principle that because the Urba is going to be cut, Kol Omed Lachtoch, Kachatoch Dami, that whatever is going to be cut is considered as if it was already, that's only Rav Meir's opinion. The Tanan, as we learn in a Mishnah, Kol Yodet HaKelim, all handles of Kelim, Shehena Ruchos, which are longer than they need to be, the Osid Lakotetzon, so eventually you plan to chop off the extra length. What happens if you need to tovel the Kelim? This is relevant as far as Tevilah Kelim nowadays when you buy them from a goy, but it's also relevant in those days as far as Tumah V'Tahara.
You have a
potlet. No, not longer than the Kelim necessarily. You have a potlet. Say you bought a pot and the handle was too long and you plan to shorten it. You don't need such a long handle. So you plan at some point to take an axe or whatever and chop off the extra point. The question is, right now you need to tovel this pot, either because you bought it from a goy or because it became tame or what have you. Do you have to cut off that extra part first? So the Mishnah says, Machbal ad Mokam Midah. You only have to tovel up to the point where you plan to cut off. Beyond that point, you do not need to tovel it. Dibur Reb Meir, this is according to Reb Meir, v'chachamim moment, the chachamim say, ad sheyatzel eskulay. That no, you do have to tovel the entire handle. Now, actually, I mean, on the side of it, here, it points out that actually the Mishnah rather says that the first opinion is Rabbi Yehuda, and then you have the Chachamim, which usually would be Rabbi Meir against Rabbi Yehuda, would be the one saying you have to tovel the whole thing. The point being that we're saying you only have to tovel them up to a certain point seems to only be a daf yachid. If Rabbi Meir or Rabbi Yehuda, as the case may be, but the point is, if we didn't say it's considered as though it's already chopped off, you should have to chop it off first, because otherwise you have a chasita. Mind you, by the way, you actually have Tosfos and a number of the other Rishonim bring up the question. After all, shouldn't there be an issue of chasita here anyway? Even if you take the chatuch dummy, the fact remains you plan to cut off that extra part. So how is it not a chasitza now when you tovel it? So Tosfos themselves answers that we're talking about a keli. We're not talking about, let's say, a pot that has a... There is, because you only want the handle to be this red part, let's say. You plan to cut off the white part. So then the end of the red part,
after you cut it.
Before you cut it. Now you're toveling it, but that inside...
The fact that it's in your mind that you plan to cut one...
That's fine. So therefore, the Tanakama of the Mishnah, of Meir, says that you only need to tovel up to here. And the second Tana says you need to tovel the whole thing. But according to either one of them, you should need to first cut it off, because otherwise what you have is the end over here, the end that's going to be left after you're cutting off. You have the rest of it as a chafetza for it.
If there's anything left
off. Of course there's something left off. You're planning to cut it off. So therefore, the part that what will be the new end of the handle after you cut it off, that part currently there's a chasitza on. So how does that work? The Tosfos themselves answers that we're not talking about a solid handle. We're talking about, let's say, a handle that's made as a chain. So therefore, fine. You know, you can have. You only need to tovel until a certain point in the chain. Other Rishonim give a few other different answers, including maybe the whole concept of chasitza doesn't apply as much to kelim, only to people. Or another possibility is that in effect it's similar to Maga Beis Hasdarim, that the fact that it's concealed within the handle, and it may, also I think you have one you also have a point that's brought up. Since the whole handle was made out of the same material, then therefore you wouldn't say one part of it is a chasitza on the other. Chasitza would be if you have a foreign object. This would apply to a person or to a keli. That the chasitza is when you have a foreign object. Let's say for example dirt under fingernails or whatever. But not let's say when you have fingernails or hair that'll. I know the Chassam Sofer talks about it in one of his Chuvas in connection with the question of a woman toveling before her marriage. But it's talked about by I don't remember who first brings up the idea. But yeah, Anyway. The point is, again, only according to the first opinion in our Mishnah of Meir, would it be that we're saying that since it's going to be cut off, it's considered as if it's already cut off, therefore you only need to tovel up to that point. But we see that there's another opinion. So what do we do? Again, our Mishnah is only representing one side of that. The answer is that Filutei Merabbanan. No, Ravina will say, no, our Mishnah can even go according to the Rabbanon, because there's a difference between kelim and food. Our Mishnah is talking about food, and the Rabbanon will say, chibure oichlin kamanda mifrisi dami, that food that's joined together is considered as though it's already separated. Therefore, negiv adadi. Therefore, it's as if you have two pieces of food that one is touching the other. Therefore, one is going to be the time of the other to a certain degree.
While they're joined.
While they're joined, right. As opposed to with kelim, we wouldn't say that. Rashi mentions, by the way, that there's other places in Shas, in particular in Tzachim, where it says that Ravina holds chibura oichon, command and mifrisi domu, or Gemara is the source where we see that Ravina says that. Because Ravina is using that to explain our Mishnah.
But it just goes according to one opinion.
Well, no, he's using that to explain that, therefore, you don't have to say that our Mishnah is only according to the mayor in that Mishnah and Mikvah. Both the mayor and the Chachamim over here would agree with the general principle that when it comes to food, command the mifrisi damu, it's as if they're separated. Therefore, it's as if you have two pieces of meat touching each other. As opposed to with kelim, you can argue whether it's considered to have to be two separate pieces touching the other, and therefore whether you have to table the whole thing or not. Okay. So the Gemara says, "Bishleima la'ula." I can understand, according to Ula, who explained that the machlokas in our Mishnah is based on the idea that as you're in the process of cutting it off, there comes a point when they're completely separated, but yet you have them touching each other unknowingly. So then, according to Ula, "Ainu katani choska." That explains why our Mishnah specifically had to mention the case where you chopped off the limb that was sticking out, because without chopping it off, you're not going to have tuma, because it's magabei kastardim, so they're only touching in a concealed part. El Ravina, but according to Ravina, my chaska, according to Ravina, why bother mentioning the point that you cut it off? Either way, you're going to cut it off, therefore, according to Ravina's understanding, the machlokas, either way,
the fact that you're going to cut it off
makes it already that's considered two separate pieces. The answer is you're right. I did a ton of reisha chaska. It's just because the first part of the Mishnah had to mention the case where you cut it off, because there we had to say, if you cut it off before the shechita, that the mother and the baby that are not tamei, and there it's necessary to say you cut it off, obviously. Therefore, Tananami Sefer Chaskasa, therefore in the Sefer it also mentions that you cut it off, even though according to Ravina's explanation, it would work either way.
But Ula wouldn't agree with
that. Ula would say that only Dafka if you cut it off. Right. 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 Okay.
Who agrees with the Sefer?
What do you mean, who agrees? It's the Mishnah. Neither Ula nor Ravina can argue with the Sefer. What we're saying is that Ola would say that both in the first and the second case is a Mishnah, it has to say Choscha. In the first case, because only when you cut it off do we say before the Shechita, do we say the rest of it is not Tomei. And in the second case, only if you cut it off can we be talking about whether the rest of it becomes Tomei or not, because otherwise Magabeta started. According to Ravina, it only needs to say Choscha in the first case. The second case, the din would apply whether you cut it off or not.
You just said it for parallelism.
Fine. All right. Then the Mishnah had said,
the halacha is that you have, I think,
a machlokas rishonim whether we accept this principle that chibur oichlin command mifrisi domi. Do we actually pass them like Ravina or not? I believe among others, the Rambam and the Raizad argue about it, but I don't remember. I didn't look it up in detail. Okay. Fine. Okay, then we said in the Mishnah of Chachamim Magatrei for Shchuta, we said the Chachamim hold that the limb that stuck out is only considered Trefa. Therefore, the Shchita of the mother makes it, it's not Matame to the degree of Nevela, it's only Matame to the degree of Trefa Shchuta. And is Matame the rest of the meat to that degree? So the question is, what do you mean Trefa Shchuta mi Matame? Does meat from an animal that was Trefa and then Shechted, is it Matame at all?
No.
The answer is yes, ain't. It does. Kida Avor Deshmul, as Avor Deshmul says. Father of Shmuel says that when it comes to Kodshim, Midrabanan, then it will be Matam. Only Mukdashin. You actually have a machlokas between the Rambam, between Rashi and the Rambam. Do we mean that the whole thing only applies to Kodshim themselves, or do we mean that Trefa Shchuta, even if the original animal was Cholin, is able to be Matame Kodshim?
No.
Everybody would agree that when it comes to Cholin, if it's all within Cholin, then nothing happens. The question is, are we saying that only an animal of Kodshim that was Shechted and turns out to be Trefa, that we're saying that meat has Tumah D'Rabbanan, Or are we saying that even if the original animal that was shechted and turns out to be tereisel was chulin, if that meat touches kodshim, then it'll make a tummy?
And the answer is?
So Rashi learns one way, the Rambam learns the other way. I think the Rambam learns the first way, that it only applies strictly within kodshim. But I'd have to look it up. All right, so we said in the Mishnah, then we had a whole argument. We said, Mama sinu b'treifa sheshchitosim etaharta. Just like we find by a regular treifa, that shechting that takes away the tumah of nevela that it would have otherwise had if it died. Ach shchitas behem etaharta as a uber, or as a eva, really, it's supposed to be. So also shechting the mother animal should at least be metahar, this eva, this limb that stuck out, and make it that it won't have tumah nevela, only the tumah of treifa shchuta. So that was the Chachamim's argument. That's why they said it only had the din of Treifa Shchuta.
And therefore it's just the Rishon?
Therefore it would just, well, so therefore, right. So only when it comes to Kodshim, right. So that, well, right. So it would only be a Rishon, but only as far as Kodshim would it be relevant, right? Okay. Tanya, so we learn in a bright. So Omelahen Rav Meir. So Rav Meir answers them like this. V'chimi tiharoi la'ever zeh. After all, so you're telling me that this Eber becomes Tahar by the Shchita. But after all, let's think, what process made it Tahar? What made it Tahar so that it doesn't have Tumas Nevela? After all, it was Shchitas Imoy, the fact that you shechted the mother. Well, then, by your logic, it came Tatudanu Ba'achila. By that logic, the Shchita of the mother ought to make that piece Mutar to eat. Because after all, if you're saying that the Shchita of the mother has power even over the limb that stuck out to take away a degree of Tumas from it, then why shouldn't it take away the whole thing and make it Mutar to eat? Amrullah, and the Chacham answered him, Havi Maselas, Al She'enei Gufa, Yosemi Gufa. The Chacham answered him with something that, at first glance, seems to be like a non sequitur. They seem to be answering something different than what he asked. So they answer, and the Gemara is going to explain that there's a part missing in the argument over here. Amrullah, so the Chacham answered him, Harbe Maselas, the Shechita of a mother animal is much more able to save from Tuma, Al She'enei Gufa, things that are not part of its body. Namely, in this case, this unborn baby, Yosemi Gufa, more than it's able to save its own body. Shari Shaninu, because after all, we learn in the first Mishnah of our parish. We said, Choytech mina ober shememe'er mutabachila, that if you were to cut off pieces of the unborn baby and leave them in the womb, which is not part of her body, and leave them in the womb, and then shech the mother, mutabachila, and those pieces will be mutter to eat. Once you shech the mother, those become mutter as well. But if we cut pieces of the spleen or the kidneys of the mother animal and left them inside, also, then they would be also teeth. So we see therefore that, well, the pieces themselves would be Eve Menachai, actually. But it's effectively, I mean, so far as if a person eats it, which Isser is the overall, there are different Issurim that have to give them the appropriate Asura. So far as Tumah, they have basically the same degree of Tumah. Okay, anyway, the point is that the Chachamim are saying that you see that the Shechita of the mother is able to have more of an effect on the baby than it is on the mother herself. But the question is, my comma, what are the Chachamim answering? What they're answering seems to have nothing to do with Reb Meir's objection. Reb Meir is saying, if you Chachamim are saying that the Shechita of the mother has power over this, has power over this Aver that stuck out, then it should be able to be master even to eat. So what are the Chachamim answering about She'enei Gufa, Yosemi Gufa? So there's a part missing. Amar Rabba, so Rabba says, Ba'amri lo Kedi, others say Kedi. Now what does Kedi mean? It means there's two possibilities. It brings on the side over here from our Shal. You have in a number of places in Shas it says Kedi. Either it means it's the name of a Chacham. So either Rabba said this or Kedi said it. The other possibility is Kedi means like for nothing. Like empty. In other words, it was said anonymously. So according to that, it would mean Rava said it, or others say we don't know. We don't. Rava didn't say it, but somebody else said it. We don't remember who. Anyway, whatever it is, the answer is like this: Chasuri Mechsera. The Braisa is missing words. Bahachi Katani. What it means to say is like this. Here's how the whole argument goes. Again. Starting with Amalahan Rameyer, Vachidni Tiara, La Eva Zemide Nevela. After all, what are you telling me makes this Eva Mutter, not Mutter, makes it, but it's not, that it doesn't have Tumas Nevela, Shchitas Ima. The only thing that makes that changes the status is that you shechted the mother. Imke, Tatsira, no Ba'achila. By your logic, it ought to make it Mutter to eat. Because the Shchita should have the same effect on it. Omruloi, so here is the part that's missing in the original Braisa. The Chachamim answered him, Trefa Techiach. You can prove to the contrary by considering the case of a treifa. Because after all, a regular animal, forget about a present animal, a regular animal that's treifa, if you shecht it, it doesn't have tumas nevela anymore. It only has the treifa, it only has the tuma d'rabbanon of treifa shchuta. Yet it doesn't. You can't eat a treifa animal that was shechted. So the same way over here, the shechita of the mother can make this eiver. It doesn't have tumas nevela, but it can still be also to eat.
So there's a stage in between.
Yeah, there. Yes, yeah. Yeah. In other words, it's not an either or thing, right? No, right. Well, the Chachamim would say, in other words, right. The same. Forget it. Well, you have the tumah of treifa d'rabbanan, but fine. Let's leave that aside for a second. Let's talk purely on a d'oraisa level. The Chachamim would say the same way as shechting a treifa animal takes away the tumah that it would have had if it had died, but yet it doesn't make it mutter to eat. So the same way, the shechita of the mother doesn't make this limb mutter to eat. It's still basabas of the treifa. But it can still make it, but it's not matamet, shomas nevela. On the other hand, however, the mayor says to them, loy, that's not a valid comparison, because, like he says in our Mishnah, im tira shchita treifa oisa, you know why shechting the treifa animal is able to take away its own tumah? Because dabar shehi gufa, because that's it itself. It's the very same animal that you shechted. We're talking about whether it still has tumah or not. So you can say, fine, even though it was a treifa and you can't eat it, the shchita still has an effect on it. Tatara to Aver, how can you say that should be Matahir, the limb of the baby, Jabar She'ene Gufo, which is not part of the mother animal herself? Here is now we go back to the original version of the Braita.
Yes, stuck it out.
But then the point is, even the baby Bechlal is not considered. I mean, to a certain extent, we say Uber Yerachi Maibu, but fine. But after all said and done, it is still a separate entity. It grew inside her and all fine, and it becomes mutter to eat when you shech.
When
you shech,
it's ready to give birth.
No, the pastures. No, I guess
it's either one or the other. It cannot be both.
No. Okay, one second. First of all, we talked to the Mishnah about a baby that was born premature, and we're going to talk also in the next Mishnah about a baby that came to full term but hasn't been born yet. But no, I mean, at some point, maybe it's when it's first recognizable as a baby. I don't know exactly, but at some point in other words, it's considered a separate entity. And
when?
At some point, I don't know, but Pashtus could be any time during the pregnancy. I mean, and if it was after 1 month of pregnancy, it somehow managed to stick out a limb, but Pashtus, that limb would also still be offered.
If you say 16 days after that, it becomes a separate, now yes, of course.
I don't know. I'm
that's
saying.
I'm
okay, I don't know exactly, but the
but
point
I think
is...
it becomes... Listen,
as long as the baby is in the womb, it doesn't really matter. When you shech the mother, the baby is mutter. As long as the baby is in the womb, according to the Chachamim, anyway, it doesn't matter. According to the mayor, fine. If it's full term, then if it's full term and it's still inside the womb, then not. We'll get to that in the next Mishnah. But the point is, we're talking about only if the baby stuck out a limb. So whenever during the pregnancy, it does that. Pashtus, it would usually be towards the end. Behemah makshalela is the examples that we said. In the Mishnah, we were always using the examples. Behemah makshalela, the mother is having difficulty giving birth, and then and the baby sticks out a limb. But Pashtus, it wouldn't happen sometime in the middle of the pregnancy. It would happen fairly close to the end. Yeah, that's a very late stage. Yeah. Okay. Anyway, the point is that, so now that the Chachamim made that argument, that, or rather, now that Rabbi Meir made that argument, where he says that after all, there's a difference. The shechita can be matir, the mother animal herself, even if she's not matir, can make the mother animal herself, even though she's a treifa, is not tame. That doesn't show that it would necessarily have the same effect on the baby, to say that the limb of the baby should not be matame. And here is where, now we go back to the original version of the Braisa, Amruloi, the Chacham answered him, no, Habi Matzela, Sasha Enei Gufa, Yosem Gufa. You see, after all, that the Shchita of the mother is able to have a greater effect on something that's not part of her body, namely the baby, than on something which is part of her body. Sharei Shaninu, because we learned in our Mishnah, Choytech Mina Obershav Me'er Mutzah Ba'achila, that's cut off a piece of the baby and left it inside as mutter to eat, Minat Chol Minat Chloyes Altsa Ba'ana. So that's the whole argument between the Meir and the Chacham. The mayor is arguing that on the one hand, first he starts by arguing that if you're saying that the shechita of the mother has an effect on the limb of the baby, to be mataharet, then it should go even so far as being matarit to eat. The chum tell him no, we're comparing it to a treifa, because it's treifa mother. If you shecht it, then if treifa mother, you shecht it still doesn't have tumas nevela. Rav Meir argues that's fine. Shchita of Trefa can be effective for the mother herself, who says it's just as effective for the baby. And the Chum says, you see from the first Mishnah of our Perek, that's even more effective because if you... that's even more effective on the baby, which is not part of her, than on the than on her body itself. Okay. Tanya Nami Hochi, we learn in fact in a Braisa. Well, no, so he still has his opinion. Tanya Nami Hochi, and in fact we learn in a Braisa that spells out that argument the same way. After all, what are you claiming made this aver that should not have Tumas Nevela? They tell him, well, the Shchita of the mother. And he argues in Cain Tatsudanu Bachila, by your logic, once you shech the mother, that Aver should even be mutter to eat. So they tell him the case of a Trefa mother can prove the contrary. Because the Shchita makes it that it doesn't have Tumas Nevela. The Einem Akirasa Bachila, yet it doesn't make it mutter to eat because it's still Trefa. So Rav Meir answers to them, no, because there's a difference. In Tira, Shchita Trefa Oisa. And here he adds a detail which we didn't have before, that the shchita of a treifa animal will be metahar it from Tumas Nevela, and also the Esa Eber Hamadul Dolba, it will also be metahar from Tumas Nevela, a limb that is dangling from it. This is a new topic that we haven't mentioned before. Forgetting about a baby for a second, a regular animal, you can have a case where a limb got partially detached from the animal, but it's still partly connected. So, in other words, it's detached to the point where it's not going to be able to, it's dangling, but the point is, it's been detached enough that it's not going to heal. It's not going to ever reconnect with the rest of the body. But nevertheless, it still is connected at this point. So the din is later on in Armasekta, and then when we look in Perikah over our right, the ninth Perik, where we get into a lot of the dinim of Tuma Batara of animals before and after the Shchita. So we say over there that if you have such an Avraham Adoldol in a regular animal, forgetting about a Trefa for a second, a regular healthy animal, so then if you shech that animal, then that piece does not have Tumas Nevela. It's considered able to have Tumas Oichlin. It's like any regular food. It can become Tumas. But it doesn't have Tumas Nevela. So you're not allowed to eat. In other words, what it is like this. So an Avraham Adoldol like that is similar to the case of the baby's limb that stuck out. You're not allowed to eat it after the Shchita. However, it's not considered Nevela. The same way as the Chachamim are saying over here, that the piece of the baby is not Nevela, the same thing would be the din with an Avraham Adoldol, that's not considered Nevela. So now Rav Meir is saying, I agree with that concept about Avraham Adoldol, with a dangling limb, that's what he's saying. I can agree, in Tira Shchita Trefa Oysav at the Avraham Adoldol bar, fine, the Shchita of a Trefa animal can be Matanah, if there's no Tumas Nevela on the animal itself, and also on a limb that's dangling off it, but the difference is Dover Shigufa, both those things, its own body and the Aver are all part of itself, they're all part of its own body.
Dangling?
Yeah, but still consider it. It still came from its own body. It's still a part that was originally part of its body.
So for there we see that actually...
Tataher is the uber she'ene gufa. How do you compare with being metaher, the uber, the unborn baby, which is not even something that, which is not fundamentally part of the mother herself? And he was where? Om Yerloi, Haver Matzela, Sasha Enei Gufa, Yaisim Gufa. On the contrary, you see that the shchita of the mother has a greater effect as far as being master things on the baby than it does on itself. Shari Shaninu, because we learned at the beginning of our parak, that if you were to cut off a piece of the baby and leave it inside the womb and then shech the mother, it would be mutter to eat. But if you did the same thing with the mother's own spleen or kidneys, they'd be also to eat. So therefore, they're telling Rav Meir, if you agree that the shchita of a trefa animal, or even of a healthy animal for that matter, is able to be metaher the Avraham Adoldol from having Tumas Nevela, then it should have. Then the same din should apply. The same thing din should apply to the limb. All the more so should apply to the limb of the unborn baby.
But you cut and you leave in the womb.
No, that it stuck out, that stuck out of the womb, that you shech the mother, that therefore should have that effect on it and be able to be mocked and not be mocked to it to eat, but makes it that it doesn't have too much Nevela.
Maybe
that's why the mayor disagrees. Fine, but the point is the Chachamim, that's the Chachamim's argument. Okay. Fine. Now, let's analyze, well, so far, that's the conclusion so far, but now we have different ways of understanding Rav Meir and the Chachamim's Machlokes. Amar Rav Shimon Lakish, K'machlokes v'ogrin kach machlokes v'evarin. Actually, Rav Shlokish says, not necessarily would Rav Meir agree that the Avraham Zuldol does not have Tumas Nevela. The same machloikas that we have as far as an unborn baby over here, the same machloikas would be as far as an Avraham Adoldol Bebehema. That Rav Meir would say that the shchita is not mitaharet, that not only you're not allowed to eat that piece, but which is dangling off, but it actually has tumas nevela. And Rabbi Yechanan would say no. The machloikas is only as far as the limb of an unborn baby. But when it comes to the limb of the actual animal itself that you shechted, then everybody would agree that the shechita creates nipple. Nipple literally means falling off. In other words, we would say like this. When it comes to the Avraham Adoldol, we would say that shechting the animal itself, which has, let's say, a dangling leg or whatever, that leg is considered at the time of shechita is considered as if it fell off. So therefore, the shechita doesn't help. It's Avraham Menachai, basically. So the Rav Meir and the Chachamim are going to be arguing about, again, according to Rav Shlokish, we're saying that Rav Meir would say that shechting the animal, the piece yet still has tumas nevela, and the Chachamim would say that not. Whereas Rav Yechanan would say both of them would be saying that it has tumas nevela.
And Rav Yosef, my time is Rav Yechanan,
so the question is then, why does Rav Yechanan say that the Rabbanan hold that? If the Rabbanan hold that the unborn baby's aver is able to become no longer Tomei Tumas Nevela once you shech the mother, why would he say that Chachamim are more machmir on the aver of the animal itself? The reason is because the difference is that with the baby's limb, if it brings it back into the womb, then there's a takana for it. Then it helps. Whereas when it comes to the limb of the actual animal itself, you can't say that. There's nothing to return it to, and it's not going to heal. Now, what do we mean by that? So at the beginning of the parak, we had a machloikas Rav Yochanan and Rav. What happens if the baby sticks out its limb and then retracts it back into the womb? We had two versions of the machloikas. In the first version, Rav held that the limb is osur, and Rav Yochanan held it's mutter. In the second version, we actually had an argument between Rashi and all the other Rishonim what Rav Yochanan holds in the second version. We had a point of Rashi, Rav Yochanan holds in the second version the same as he did in the first, that the whole limb is mutter to eat, and only Rav is saying that maybe even not only the limb itself, but even the part that stayed inside is osur. According to all the other Rishonim, Rav Yochanan agreed that the part that stuck out is osur, the machlokas was about the rest of it, about the part that remained inside. Now, according to Rashi, our Gemara works very well, because we're clearly saying over here that Rav Yochanan is saying that if the limb is put back in, then there is a takana for it, which seems to imply it's mutter to eat. That seems to be, well, according to Rashi, it would be according to either version. Both the first and the second versions of Rav Yochanan, he's consistent with what he says before, that the whole limb is mutter to eat. The question is, according to the Rif and everybody else who says that in the second version, Rav Yochanan says that the limb itself that stuck out is also to eat, what do we mean over here? It's like hakanta b'chazara. How does putting it back into the womb help? It's still also to eat. So there's a few possibilities that the Rishonim talk about. One of them is that maybe our Gemara is only going according to the first version of Rav Yochanan over there. Or another possibility, which I think the Rashba brings up this possibility but doesn't like it, he says maybe Rav Yochanan would say that if it puts it back in, it's not Tomei anymore, but it's still also to eat. this that we're saying, in other words,
we said before
the part that stuck out according to Rabbi Yochanan, we said the part that stuck out, we're saying according to the second version, Rabbi Yochanan would agree with Rav that it's also to eat, but he might disagree, aside from the fact that he disagrees, what about the rest of the limb, the parts that were still inside, he might also disagree, possibly, and say that once it put it back in, at least it takes away the tumah. It would still be also to eat, but it wouldn't have trauma. And I think the Rashba brings up that possibility, but doesn't like it. So he doesn't like it, but the Rosh says that maybe you could say, to explain the Rif and everybody else, you could say that that all Gemara is going according to the first version of Rabbi Yechanan's opinion.
Okay. But it's what it works.
But it wouldn't. According to Rashi, it works for the second version as well, according to everybody else. Though.
Right.
Okay, fine. But anyway, that's the point. In other words, that Rabbanan will say there's more reason to be lenient with the Eva of an unborn baby, because at least that, if you put it back, if it puts it back into the womb, then according to the first version of Rabbi Yochanan, at least, or maybe even the second version, it'll be mutter to eat again, as opposed to the Eva Amadoldo, the dangling limb of a behemoth, you're not going to have that. There's nothing to return it to.
Nobody says that you, well.
So no, because it's, right. it's not going to heal. Fine. So that's Rabbi Yochanan versus Rish Lakish's understanding of the machlokes of Rabbi Meir and the Chacham. Okay. The Gemara says Meisvi. I have a contradiction. What are you telling me that Abraham the Dolder retains its truma, even though you shafted the mother? We're asking Meisvi. The Bnei Yeshiva. Well, we're going to see in a second.
Okay.
We said in the Braisa that we just quoted, we said Amalehem Reb Meir Loi. So Reb Meir argues to them, you can't compare this case of the Ava, of the limb that stuck out of the Uber. You can't compare that with the case of the shechting a regular treifa animal, because in Tira Shchita Treifa Oisa Ve'esa Eva Amadul Dova. You're telling me fine that the shchita of a treifa animal is able to be metahir the animal as a whole, as well as the Eva that's dangling from it. In other words, again, even though you can't eat that Eva, at least doesn't have too much nevela. But all of those are davar shegufa. Those are all part of the animal's body itself. Katira to uber davar shegufa. What are you comparing and telling me that it should be matahir, the unborn baby, which is not part of the mother herself?
Right.
That's what Rameir had said. So we see it seems that Rameir accepts that Avraham Adoldo becomes tahir once you shef the animal. According to Rish Lakish, it's not so hard to understand the Braisa. It's true that Rav Meir himself holds that the Avraham Adoldo still does have Tuma, even though you shechted the animal. But you could say the Divrein Ka'am Alahu. That he's saying, forget about my own opinion. According to your own opinion, why are you saying... According to Rish Lakish, Rav Meir would hold that the Avraham Adoldo is still Tuma, even though you shechted the animal. And the Chachamim would disagree. So therefore, so Rav Meir can be saying like this: Lidi D, as far as I'm concerned, Loishna Eva de Uber, Loishna Eva de Behema. To me, it's all the same whether it's a limb of the unborn baby that stuck out, which is also to eat, or a dangling limb of the Behema, which is also to eat. Kia Dodi Ninu, they're exactly the same thing, and I hold that the Shchita won't be Matahu either of them. So it stays tummy, Tumas Nevela.
It's
too much available. So therefore, he's saying the point. In other words, continuing that line of thought, so the mayor would be saying to the Chachamim, but you, Chachamim, how are you telling me that the Avraham Adoldo will not be Tahar after the Shechita? And he's telling the Chachamim, if you hold that the Avraham Adoldo is you're holding that the Eber Hamadoldo becomes Tahar after the Shchita, fine, but that's part of Gufa, whereas the Uber is not. So how can you compare them? And they answer then, yeah, but the Shchita, the mother, has a greater power over the Uber than it does over the Behemoth itself. So therefore, they could say that, yes, because we see, there's a difference about when you cut off a piece of the baby and left it in the womb versus the toil and the claws and left them inside the animal. So therefore, ultimately, they could say it is a valid comparison. We can say that just like the Shchita saves the Avraham Adoldo and makes it that it doesn't have too much nevela, so also the Shchita saves the Avraham Hayose from the unborn baby and makes it that it's not the time of too much nevela. So according to Rish Lakish, we can understand Rav Meir's argument in the Braisa. Elo Rav Yechanan Tasha. But according to Rav Yechanan, everybody agrees that the Avraham Adoldo is Tomei. So how is Rav Meir mentioning that the Avraham Adoldo is not Tomei after the Shchita? Neither he nor the Chachamim hold of that concept. So it doesn't work. No, you're right. You have to correct our. You have to correct our report of Rabbi Yochanan and Rish Lakish's machlokes. Rather say like this: Amar Rish Lakish to machlokes veubrim kach machlokes veevarim. That again, Rish Lakish says the same machlokes you have as far as the limb of the unborn baby. Amar Shimon Lakish, yeah, to machlokes veubrim, the same machlokes of Rabbi Meir and the Chachamim as far as the unborn baby, where the Meir holds that the shechita of the mother is not metaher that limb; it remains tamei tumas nevela, and the Chachamim hold it does. Kach machlokes veevarim. So again, Rish Lakish would be saying the same thing as in the first version, that the machlokes is the same thing as far as the aver on the dual of the animal itself.
Right.
Whereas we have to alter what Rabbi Yochanan said. Rather, Rabbi Yochanan says like this: Machloikas be'aver de'uber. The machloikas is as far as the limb of the unborn baby that Rabbi Meir says it's not tahor and it still has tumas nevela, and the Chachamim say it doesn't. But when it comes to the dangling limb of the animal itself, the opposite of what we said before, that everybody would agree, the shchita does not create nipple. We don't consider that once the animal is shechted, it's as if that limb had fallen off before. Because if it did, it would be tummy. No, rather what we say is shchita, unlike mitzah, as we're going to talk about soon, if the animal dies naturally, there's a difference, but if the animal is shechted, we're going to say that both Reb Meir and the Chachamim would agree that shchita does not create nipple, that therefore, in other words, this limb is still considered attached to the actual animal as a whole.
And therefore,
the shchita will be metaher. Yeah, so now we don't need to say anymore that Reb Meir is arguing only according to the Chachamim. He's using his own svara as well, because he also agrees that the Avraham the Dildor will remain child. Okay, fine. So, we have to explain, why would Reb Yochanan be saying that Reb Meir would make that distinction between the dangling limb versus the limb of the unborn baby?
And nipple.
Why would we say it? Given that both of them are also to eat, why would we say that Reb Meir would say one of them, that the dangling limb becomes tahor through the shchita, and the limb of the uber does not? The answer is because we said before, high gufa v'high lav gufa. Because we said before that the one is part of the guf of the animal and the other one is not. Okay, we said that in the Braita explicitly, but the Amoraim didn't always know all the Braita. So Rabbi Yitzchak Bar Yosef is saying this in the name of Rabbi Yochanan, and eventually it turns out we have a Braita where the mayor himself makes that exact point. Okay, Tosfos actually points out a little later, further on in the Sugya, we're going to talk about there is actually that dangling limb is actually mutter to eat, possibly even midaraisa. We'll talk about that soon. So what's the comparison with the limb of the uber, which is definitely also daraisa? So Tosfos says, okay, but the fact is, after the Chachamim made a gzera that you're not allowed to eat it, they should have made a gzera of tumah on it as well. So why would Reb Meir say that one has tumah and the other one doesn't? And the answer is because one's part of the animal and the other one's not.
Oh.
And Reb Meir holds that the shchita has a greater power over the animal itself rather than over the uber. Okay, so now let's talk a little more about this concept of nipple, this concept that you have that a limb that's partially detached from the body is it considered nipple would mean it's considered as if it fell off.
Detached.
It would be considered as if it was detached, therefore it wouldn't have the same status as the rest of the body. Versus if we say a that there's no nipple, it means it's still considered attached. So Rabbi Yitzchak Bar Yosef, Amar Rabbi Yochanan, Hakol Moedim, everybody, both Rabbi Meir and the Chachamim will agree, Shemisa Oisim Nipol V'en Shchita Oisim Nipol. That only if the animal dies naturally, then you have nipple. If you have this Eva on the Dodo, and then instead of being shechted, the animal died without Shchita, then we would say that piece is not considered a piece of Nevema, it's considered Eva Menachash. Now, what's the relevance of this? You have the animal had a dangling limb. Then it died. What we're saying is that dangling limb is considered, it's considered that at the time of death, it's as if it was no longer attached to the animal. It's considered as though it's separated completely from the animal while it's alive. So therefore, it's Eva Menachai. Now, what's the difference? Rashi, so some of the Rishonim explain the difference would be if a person were to eat it. What Hasrual do we give him? Do we give him Hasrual from Nevela or from Eben Achai? But Rashi explains there's also a practical distinction as well. You know, that would be a Hasrual Sopik. Then maybe you get into the question whether a Hasrual Sopik works or not. No, you have to be clear what you're... No, Rashi explains a more practical, another practical difference between them. But again, from later in the Masechta, from Ha'ovah HaRotev, which is going to be, again, a long perek all about Truma V'Tara, so we'll have to gird our loins for that. But anyway, so the difference is like this. Eivim and Achai, in order for it to be Metame, it has to be a complete limb in the form in which it originally separated from the original animal. It has to have both of the gidim batzomis. It has to have the flesh, the muscles, and the gidim, the nerves, the blood vessels, or whatever, and the bones. If you had, for example, a leg, let's say, detached from the animal while it was alive, and later on you cut off a piece of meat from that leg, that piece of meat would not be metame.
Because
that piece is bosa apodish from Eivim and Achai. As opposed to, if you consider the piece nevela, then
the rest would.
The rest, yeah, still Eivim and Achai, yeah. Because it's still like bosa v'gidim ha'atzomis. But it doesn't have all of its bosa. It doesn't have all of its bosa. It doesn't matter.
51% missing.
I don't know how much has to be missing. I guess we'll get to that later in our writing. But the point is it has to have bosa v'gidim ha'atzomis. Here it doesn't. And also, by the way, that means when you're talking about a limb that doesn't have bosa v'gidim ha'atzomis in the first place, for example, the tongue, then as Eivim and Achai, it wouldn't necessarily be in the tongue. Yeah, because the tongue doesn't have a thumbnail, yeah.
Okay.
Anyway, or other internal organs, whatever.
Complete the way it is, though.
That's true, but nevertheless, it's not. Yeah. Okay. Again, we'll get to that later. But I think it's not considered Eivim and Achai in that case. But at least, as far as the dinim of eating it, yes. But it would be also to eat. I think so. Again, let's not get too much into it now. In another 2 months, Rez Hashem, we'll get to that in great detail. But anyway, the point is that when it comes to nevela, there's no such thing. Any kazayas of that nevela is metame if a person touches it or carries it. So that's the difference between whether this dangling limb that was dangling while the animal was alive and then it died, there's a difference, therefore, whether it's considered Eivim and Achai or whether it's considered nevela.
So while it's still alive, it's dangling.
So while it's still alive, it's dangling. We're saying if the animal dies, oisin nipul, then it's considered as if it fell off while the animal was alive, so it's considered Eivim and Achai. It fell off while the animal was alive. Then the animal died.
Yeah.
So now we're saying, sorry, it didn't fall off. Well, no, it fell off while the animal was alive, obviously. Sorry, no, it was still attached. It was still partially attached when the animal died. But nevertheless, the death of the animal creates the concept of nipple. It's as if that piece separated, it's as if that limb separated while it was still alive.
You will know it's physically connected.
Right. The aim shchita or it's a nipple, but when it comes to shechting the animal, it doesn't have that effect. It's considered that piece is still attached, and therefore the shchita of the animal is able to take away the tumas nevela from it.
Even when the animal is about to die.
About to die or not? Was it shechted or was it not? That's the difference. Was it if it was shechted? Then yeah. Okay. So the question is, b'maya skin. So when we say Mr. Oysen nipple, but Shchita does not, which case are we talking about? Elam of the Eva de Uber, are you telling me we're explaining what would happen with the limb of the unborn baby that stuck out? What do you mean everybody agrees? Mifleg Tligi, we just said in our Mishnah that there's a machlokas, Reb Meir and the Chachamim. Reb Meir holds its nevela, that the Shchita of the mother did not take away the trauma, meaning in effect that Reb Meir holds that as far as the limb of the Uber, Shchita does create nipple. It's as if it fell off while the mother was alive, and therefore it's considered nevela. And the Chachamim hold that not. So you can't say that. I mean, everybody agrees in that case. Ela be'eber de behema. So you're talking about that Reb Yochanan is informing us about the din involving the eber of the animal itself. Well, then why does Reb Meir need to tell us that? Mr. Tanena, Shchita Tanena. We have Mishnayos that tell us explicitly about the din if the animal dies naturally or otherwise without Shchita, becomes a nevela, and we have a Mishnah that tells us about what happens if the animal is shechted. In both cases, we see that in one case there's nipple and in the other case there's not. Why does Reb Yechanan need to tell us that again?
In both cases.
This that Reb Yechanan told us. Now, when it comes to a limb of the actual animal itself, that shchita does not make nipple, I mean the limb is still considered to be connected when the animal is shechted. even though it was partially detached. Whereas Mitzah does, it's considered as though it detached while the animal was alive, and therefore is Eiv Menachai. We have Mishnayos that tell us those things. We don't need Rav Yechanan and Amora to tell us them. So that's it. You have Mitzah Tanena and Shchita Tanena. Mitzah Tanena, we have a Mishnah that tells us about the case where an animal is shechted, namely again, yet another Mishnah from Ha'orva Ha'roitev later in our Masechta. The Mishnah says, Mesa HaBehema, this case over here, that you had an Eber HaMedulzel, that you had a dangling limb, if the animal died, the din is, the Mishnah says, Habasa Tzarech Hechsher, the rest of the meat of the animal, so you're not allowed to eat any of it, obviously, because it's a Mishnah. So the rest, obviously, all of it is also to eat, because it died without Shchita. But there's a difference between the rest of the animal and that Eber HaMedulzel, namely the rest of the meat, to be Makabel Truma, would have to have Hechsher, would have to become wet with one of the seven Mashkim. However, the limb has its own source of tumah. It's considered Eivim and Achai, which has a degree of tumah. The Eina Matamim from Eivim and Anavela, Divrei Rav Meir, whereas Rav Meir says it's not Matameh as Eivim from a Nevela. So we see from that exactly that, and nobody disagrees with him on that. Okay, you have Rav Shimon disagrees Rav Shimon disagrees in that Mishnah, but that's based on a different factor, which we'll discuss over there. The point is, everybody accepts Rav Meir's concept that Misa Oisa Nipple, that when the animal dies, it's considered as though this piece had separated from it while it was alive, and therefore it's considered Eiv Menachai. So we know that already. Rav Yochanan doesn't need to tell us that. And Shchita Nami Tanena, we also have in that Mishnah the din about that what happens if the animal is shechted, the animal with a dangling limb, because the Mishnah says over there, Nishchata Behema, that if the animal is shechted, Huchshuru B'damel, Divrei Rav Meir, so Rav Meir would say automatically the meat is able to be Mekabel Tumah because blood came out of the animal when it was shechted, and therefore that made it Muchshur Mekabel Tumah, because blood is one of the seven liquids. The Divrei Rav Meir, Rav Shimon Omer Loi Huchshuru, and Rav Shimon says that they're not Muchshur Lekabel Tumah because he says that for reasons that we'll discuss over there. Rashi mentions briefly over here that you have a concept of Yad, you have a concept of one thing attached to another, but whatever, that's a concept we'll deal with over there. Yeah. The point is that we see over there, again, Rav Shimon is holding that it's not Muchshur for a different reason, but they both agree, everybody agrees with the basic concept that Shchita Ein Oisa Nipple, that the animal, the meat is still, the limb, the dangling limb is still attached when at the time of the Shchita, and it's considered to be still attached. So why does Rav Yochanan have to tell us this whole summary? The answer is Imeahi, yes, but if we only have those Mishnayos, Havamina, my Huchshuru, you would think when the Mishnah says over there, you would think like this, the same way as Rav Meir argues in our Mishnah, as far as the limb of the unborn baby, maybe he would also argue about the dangling limb of the actual animal itself, Umay Huchshuru, so what would Rav Meir mean when he's asking about, is it Muchshur Lekabel Tumah? In other words, that it's not a source of tumah of its own. You would think, a buster. Maybe he's talking about the meat of the rest of the animal. Yes, maybe he's only talking about the meat. Even if he held Shchita Oisa Nipple, so what you would have is this piece that came off would be Bosra HaPodesh Menachai. It wouldn't necessarily be a full Eiver. Because we're not necessarily talking only an Eiver HaMedulzel. The same din would also apply. Yeah, the same din would also apply if it was just Bosser without, yeah, let's say a tongue, for example. So if you only had that, then you would think maybe that's what he's talking about. You wouldn't necessarily know that he's talking about the issue of Eivim and Achai versus Eivim of Nevela. So the question is, Vaha Hochshuru Katani. What do you mean? What do you mean? You can think it's only talking about the Bosser itself. The Mishnah uses the expression Hochshuru in the plural, Loshen Rabbi, which means
the whole
end. Yeah. The answer is. The answer is fine, but you would still think the plural refers to Ma'ur Detema, Chab L'Bosser HaPodesh Min HaBehema, V'Chab L'Bosser HaPodesh Min HaEver. You would argue like this. Rav Meir means like this. Rav Meir would say, if you have meat that came directly off the Behema, that you had only some meat, not a full limb, that was Medoldol, and then that's one case. We have to talk about whether it's Muksha Lekabel Tumah because it's not a full Eiver.
And meat that came from
with, it's, in other words, it's dangling, but it's not a full limb. It's not Bosa B'Gidim Batos. And the other case would be the other case would be where you had a complete aver that was dangling, and now you have, after the shechita, some meat was removed from that aver. So those would be the two cases that he's talking about. We wouldn't necessarily realize that Reb Meir is talking about the case where you had to begin with a full limb dangling, and we're talking about the status of a full limb. That's what Reb Yochanan wants to inform us, that the limb as a whole is considered still attached. And the question is, so why would Reb Meir have to stress that both of them, that why would in that case, if we understood it that way, without Reb Yochanan telling us, we would say that he's only talking about Basar in the two cases, one where the Basar is all that was hanging in the first place, and one where a full limb was hanging, but we're talking about only a piece that came off it. Why is one stronger than the other? Why does Reb Meir have to tell us both cases? Because you would think to say, given that in the second case, when you have a full aver that's hanging off, you would think, again, without Reb Yochanan telling us, you would think that full aver, as it is metame as nevela. So therefore, you would say, given that piece of meat is able to be metame as nevela while it's still attached to the limb, because the limb as a whole, we would assume, and we would assume the limb as a whole is considered nevela. So you would think, therefore, as long as the whole thing is intact, it's able to be metame as nevela, which is a very strong degree of tumah, because a person touches or carries even a kezayis if they become tameh. So you would think, therefore, that meat still retains a piece of meat that you chop off of that limb afterwards. Maybe it would still have the same strong degree of tumah.
That's where you're coming from.
And therefore, kamash malan, loy leboy hechsher, so it shouldn't even need to be mukshel kabel tumah in order to become tameh, because it itself is a source of tumah. Kamash malan, that is why you could argue that that's why you could argue that that's maybe why Reb Meir in the Mishnah needs to tell us that it still requires hechsher lekabel tumah. However, we still wouldn't know from that Mishnah that what Reb Meir would say about the limb as a whole, whether the limb as a whole is nevela. And that is what Reb Yochanan wants to inform us, that actually it's not just Reb Meir would say that the limb as a whole is nevela, but if you cut off a piece of meat from it, then it has a lesser degree of tumah, then it loses the tumah of nevela, and then therefore it has no intrinsic tumah of its own, and it needs hechsher, it needs to become wet to be able to be makabel tumah. You would think that that's what Reb Meir meant in the Mishnah. Reb Yochanan is telling us that's not what Reb Meir means. He means the limb as a whole is not even nevela. The limb as a whole is not even nevela because shechita ayna oisid nipple. Because shechting the animal, that whole limb is still considered to have been attached at the time of the shechita, which it physically was. Okay. All right, so let's finish up over here. So then, okay. Amar Rav Yosef, nekoitir Rav Yitzchak Rav Yosef v'yodcha. You should keep in your hand what Rav Yitzchak Rav Yosef said in the name of Rav Yochanan, this that he said, this nekoitin hold in your hand. In other words, you should know, you make sure to remember that, because it's correct. This that he said, that everybody agrees, shchita ein oisin mipul. So in other words, forget about the first lashon of Reb Yochanan. We slug that one up. Hold on to the second version, because in fact we know it must be correct. The Rabba Baba Chana koi kavasei, because we see that Rabba Baba Chana also agrees with it and also says that Reb Yochanan said the same thing. Netanya, as we learn in a brisa, when the pasuk says a boss of a sort of treifa leitechelu, that you're not allowed to eat meat that is in the field that's treifa. What are we learning from that passage? Lahavi ha'ever ha'baso ha'mudodolim behemo v'chayo v'oif. That comes to include this case that we were talking about of a limb or an individual muscle, so some meat without gidim and asamos that is hanging off of a behemo or chayo or an oif. The shachdan that if you shechted them shein asurin that they're also to eat because it's considered a baso b'asar tereka. But v'amar rabba b'chana amar rabbi yechanan ein behen ela mitzvah proish. There's only
the mitzvah of proish.
So what does that mean? Rashi and Tosfos both explain what that means is it's actually only also midrabbanan. This whole thing that we were saying that if you have an aver or boss or hamdodolin, that we're saying that you're not allowed to eat it, that's really only midrabbanan. The pasuk is only in a smachta. Midaraisi, you would actually be allowed to eat it. So therefore we see that Rabbi Baba Chana is telling us the same thing as Rabbi Yehuda. That's the point. Midar Raisa, therefore, it's not. So Midar Raisa is still considered completely attached. That's what we said. Shchita ain't oisin nipple. At the time of the shchita, it's still considered attached. Midar Raisa, you would even be able to eat it. Only Midar Abanan are you not allowed to. Because the Abanan made a zera on it, because it's similar to Eiv Menachal. Actually, actually, the Rambam actually explains a little bit differently. He says that mitzvah proch literally means the mitzvah to separate from it. So that's the thing. The Rashi and Tosfos understand that means midor raisi uladida, but the Torah tells us to listen to the chamim, and the chamim told us to stay away from it. The Rambam understands that what it means is it is osur, but since it doesn't say explicitly in the pasuk, we only doubt in it. Therefore, it doesn't have the status of a regular lav. It is also daraisa that Rambam learns. However, a person wouldn't get malchus for it.
To get malchus,
it would have to be something more explicit. It would have to be a real lav, right? Okay, so we'll continue tomorrow, Hashem.